Well, as many of you know who have been around Epiphany for as long as I have, which admittedly isn't all that long, you'll remember that when I came here 3 years ago, I very intentionally tried to meet with individuals and to hear their stories. And so it was about 2.5 years ago, it took a while to meet with this particular individual, that I went and visited one of our members. And this member, she had all the stories. And so I ended up staying there for quite a long time, just hearing story after story of this longtime member of Epiphany. And I have to tell you, one of those stories has been echoing in my head over these last many weeks. She spoke of an evangelism effort that she was involved with. It was an effort to go door to door. Now, I know no one likes doing that. It has too many memories of people evangelizing and telling us we better choose Jesus or go to hell. But it wasn't like that. No, this was an effort simply to get to know our neighbors here in this community because, well, this was in the 80s, and this community had just begun to really change. It had begun to no longer be a community that was only white, but that started to become mixed. And so it seemed essential to get to know the neighbors here in the community. And so the team went out with open minds and open hearts to where God was calling them. And they ended up forming relationships with people in this community who are black. And so they then finally, after time spent together and hearing one another's stories, they made the bold step of inviting them to church here at Epiphany, the God is Love Church. And when they got here, they were welcomed with open arms by a few. Most avoided interaction with them. It was just uncomfortable, after all. And a few were downright mean, both to the visitors and to those who would presume to invite those people to our church. Relationships broke that day. Perhaps it shouldn't be a surprise when it hadn't been all that long before when there were minstrel shows in this church. And a few years before, those shows included blackface, something that we know is not actually okay now, but didn't quite register then. Now, I know they didn't know any better. In fact, I talked to my father this past week, and he confirmed that, yes, he was in that last minstrel show in 1957 as a Cub Scout here in the troop. He was part of the minstrel show called Massa George's Plantation. But with that in the history, caricatures of black people rather than real relationship or understanding, it should be no surprise that people didn't know what to make of these new neighbors and were sometimes downright hostile. That team that went out into the neighborhood was following the calling of God to tell the good news that God is love to all people. And those who accepted their invitation made a courageous step to walk into a white church, as quite a few people have done since. And for their good faith effort, they were rejected by fellow Christians. Relationships were broken, for some irrevocably. But that does not mean that that group of well-intentioned people were wrong to follow the call of God. We hear Jesus say today, "For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household." These words of Jesus interpreted through the Gospel of Matthew can sound so harsh to us, especially on a day like today. It is Father's Day, after all. And yet, on this day, 1950 years ago, there were young men, Christian converts, who had been turned away from their synagogue, disowned by their fathers for following Jesus. There were women who lost the guidance and advice of their moms because they were a part of this new Christian community. This community where Matthew first shares this collection of the stories of Jesus' ministry, they needed to hear of such division from the mouth of Jesus because they had lived it. And it was so hard. Rejection, division, separation is hard. Even as we hear from the prophet Jeremiah, how he must, wherever he goes to speak, must cry out violence and destruction, and how no one wants to hear it. And yet that is what God has placed on his heart and in his mouth. I've been listening, in addition to the stories of Epiphany this past week, I've been listening with my son Luke to the book Prince Caspian. Maybe you don't know that story. It's one of the lesser known stories in the Chronicles of Narnia. And by the way, I know there are problems in the Chronicles of Narnia now, these decades since it was written. But in this story of Prince Caspian, Lucy, the youngest, and always the most faithful, she has been convinced that she saw Aslan, who is the god figure, and she was convinced that she saw him trying to lead them in a different way. But then when she went and told the others, no one believed her. And when no one believed her, she just quieted down and didn't say anything more. And then the next few hours later, when they were all asleep, she knew that she had to go and walk around in the middle of the night. And there she saw again Aslan. And he said, "Didn't you see me before? I was trying to direct you." And she said, "Yes, and I told them, but they wouldn't listen to me." And then he looks at her and she says, "You mean I was supposed to follow, even if they wouldn't come with me? But then I would be alone." "Well, not alone. I know I wouldn't be alone because you would be there. But am I really supposed to do that?" And then, of course, he says, "Yes, you follow me." And then he directs her to go and wake them up and tell them to follow, even though they will not see him because they're not yet ready. It is hard to be the odd one out. "I come to bring not peace," says Jesus, "but a sword. Take up your cross and follow me." Some things are worth that. Some things matter more even than the relationships that have nurtured you. Like the young person here at Epiphany who came out as gay to their teacher and mentor. And that mentor, that confidant, then told them they couldn't be a real Christian and gay and refused to accept them for who they were. And yet that person has continued to be faithful in their service in this church. Or the person who has felt so convicted by the horrific incidents of excessive force used on black bodies and can no longer stay silent, but fears the response of family members made uncomfortable by these realities spoken aloud. Or my uncle. My uncle, who I've never had an actual conversation with, but I know from piecing together what he has said online, spent decades away from the church, trying to reconcile himself to a church body that had rejected him for being a gay man. Or the faithful and diligent black member of this church community who had to work twice as hard to gain the respect of this congregation. The harsh reality that Jesus acknowledges and that Matthew brings forward to his community that is hurting from being hated and excluded is this: to follow the call of God in your life with conviction and passion will not always be easy and will not always be peaceful. But know this: you are more precious to God than even the sparrow that God lovingly created and tenderly cares for. Your black self is of more value than the sparrow. Your gay self is of more value than the sparrow. Your anti-racist self is of more value than the sparrow. Your struggling, confused, trying to figure it out self is of more value than the sparrow to God and to God's church by God's grace and truth in Jesus. May we keep on keeping on, imperfectly, questioningly, but faithfully, following where Jesus calls, being the people who boldly proclaim that God is love, even knowing the cost. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.